well. Praise the Lord for that special as well this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of Proverbs in chapter 3. Sunday mornings, we've been in a series in the book of Proverbs because I think there's a greater need for knowledge, biblical knowledge, wisdom, and common sense than ever before. And the day and age we're living in, even here in this United States of America, we need this. We need biblical knowledge and wisdom and common sense, if you will. Last week we looked at Proverbs 4:20 when the Bible says, attend to my words, how important it is for us to live by the word of God. And this morning we're here in chapter 3 and we're going to be reading verses 11 and 12. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the word of God together. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, we do love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. We thank you for the opportunity that you made available to all that have assembled here together to be here, and they've taken advantage of it. And Lord, I pray that you would just work in our midst now. I pray, God, that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The wisdom of discipline. The wisdom, the knowledge, the wisdom, the common sense that is to be applied of discipline. The Bible says here in Hebrews in chapter 3, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. We find the chastening and then correction and correcteth. This is all what God has given to us concerning this idea of discipline. And God's example is revealed here to us. Because whom the Lord loveth, with a loving God, he understands the need of humanity for chastening, for correction, for discipline. For whom the Lord loveth. Chasten, the definition, is to inflict suffering. This is Webster's dictionary, and to inflict suffering for purposes of moral improvements. God says that. God says because of his love, there has to be inflicted suffering for purposes of moral improvements. The Bible says here in these two verses that they're not to be despised. That definition of that is hated, scorned, or treated with contempt. I think that there's many who are despising the idea of discipline. Despising the idea of people having to be placed in prison for breaking the law. And instead of being disciplined for what they have done, they want to just let everybody live and do whatever they want to do without discipline. Or to be weary of. That idea of being weary of is tired out or lose interest in. Despise not, neither be weary of. This idea of discipline. So three things I want to present to you this morning that the book of Proverbs is filled with, the wisdom of discipline. But the first is God's discipline of his children. I'm so thankful that God disciplines his children. And when you understand the need for God to discipline his children, then the second thing is God's instructions for parental discipline. And we're losing sight of that. And if you will, we are somewhat, even as a nation, despising and getting weary of parental discipline. And then lastly this morning, as we understand this, the wisdom of discipline is the wisdom for self-discipline. How important that is. So God's discipline of his children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. We find the Bible records what happened to humanity in the dispensation of conscience, where there was no law and there was no understanding of the judgment or the chastisement of God. The dispensation of conscience was the time that God has recorded for us in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, after the fall of man, up to the flood, where God destroyed humanity off the face of the earth. The Bible says over in Genesis in chapter 5, the reason that that took place and what we can learn from what happens to humanity when they are left to their own conscience to do right, where there is no chastening and there is no discipline and there is no judgment of the law. The Bible says in Genesis in chapter 6 and verse 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, that's where their minds went, just every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now we have that recorded in the Bible. God recorded that for us to understand in this very early beginning, after the fall of man, up to when God would judge mankind, when God would judge the sins of humanity, which would be by the flood, man got to the place where the wickedness was great, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's exactly what happens. See, the humanity before the flood, before the judgment, had the same sin nature as we have today. Humanity has not changed. God's design for humanity is the same today as it was before the flood. And so we find in this dispensation of conscience what happened. After the flood, we find that God gave to Abraham the Abrahamic covenant, which had instructions and the judgment if they did not follow the instructions. He gave the law, it was given through Moses. And as we had the Old Testament law, it outlined how God would intend, how God would want man to live during that time. And the judgments, the consequences of what would happen to man if they failed to do what God would have them to do. It's recorded in the scriptures for us. We have the entire Old Testament to understand how God worked in the lives of his children and how it was important. If Israel was going to be what God wanted them to be in order to represent an almighty God to the rest of the world, then they would have to be disciplined. And if they were going to be disciplined, they would have to understand the chastising and the judgments of God. Throughout the Old Testament law, God's children were accountable to God through the law. Accountable. How important it is. God designed humanity to be accountable to him. So now we move to where we're at today in the 21st century. Our accountability is through the completed revelation from God to man of the Bible. Amen. This Bible right here, understanding Old Testament that led to the fulfilling of the New Testament. Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament and give us final revelation from God to man. And over in the book of 2 Timothy, let me read this to you. Write it down because these are verses that you need to go back to and study. But in 2 Timothy in chapter 3 and verse 16, this is what the Bible says. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. From Genesis, where we've seen what happened before the flood, and we understand the mindset of humanity before God destroyed the world, and what led to that is letting man live by conscience. And what God has revealed to us as far as what happened after that to the Abrahamic covenant, and then we look into the laws that God gave to Moses through the people of Israel to live by, and then we find the fulfillment of the law through Jesus Christ, and then Jesus giving us the full revelation of God to man. And he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for what we believe, but also, look right here, for reproof. That's judgment. That's correction. That's discipline. For correction. For instruction in righteousness. That the man of God who's preaching the word of God may be perfect through thoroughly furnished. You have what the people need if you had the word of God and the people need to hear it preach. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. To accomplish what God would have us to accomplish, we need to be accountable to the Word of God.
Amen. Right.
And as you look to the Word of God, it's profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction and for instructions on how we are to live life.
Amen.
Hebrews in chapter 12. Going right along with this idea of God disciplining his own children, we find that God revealed it in the book of Hebrews, exactly what we need to understand for the 21st century today. In Hebrews in chapter 12 and verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, God's children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. This is Proverbs, what we look to, Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. We find that God is repeating this to us in this 21st century for us to understand the fulfillment of the revelations of God. He says, for my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Don't despise or be weary of the chastening of the Lord. Welcome his discipline. Welcome the fact that as born-again believers, we are accountable to him. He says in Hebrews 12 and verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. As I look back over the last 58 years of my life, I was saved when I was 8. I've had the chastening of God. And I look back over my life, and I am so thankful for the chastening of God, which kept me from going as far as I would have gone without it. Because I was going in the same way of those that lived before the flood. And can I tell you that you will go in the very same direction that they did before the flood if it's left up to your own conscience, your understanding of good and evil, and how you're going to live your life? If it's not for the Word of God, if it's not for the influence of the Word of God, and if it's not for, after you get saved, the conviction and the judgment, the chastening of the Lord, we would go the same direction. And I look back and I can tell you that God has chastened me many a times. He's corrected me many a times. None of them were pleasant. If it was pleasant, I would not have learned. I would not have been motivated to not to do what I did to get the judgment. Suffering had to be inflicted. My dad understood if I smiled during discipline, he just wasn't hitting me hard enough. There was too much padding in my behind before that belt would come through. I learned very early on in life to cry. You think you're tough? I'm not going to show any tears, any sorrow. You're going to discipline until it hurts. If it doesn't hurt, you're not disciplining properly. It hurts emotionally, it hurts physically, whatever, but it has to hurt. It's a deterrent from you doing what you did to put yourself in a position to where now, as a loving parent, you have put your parent in a position to have to discipline you if they love you. God, you put God in a position. If you do certain things, God has already warned us about that. God has already revealed it to us. If we do certain things, God says, you put me in a position to where, as I love you, love demands discipline. Love demands chastening. Love demands scourging for my own good. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Inflicting suffering. But it didn't stop here. But grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I look back over my life. I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be living the life that I'm living today if it had not been for the chastening hand of God, my heavenly Father, who loves me. Yeah. Welcome God's discipline. Welcome accountability. It's for our own good. So not only the wisdom of God's discipline of his children, the wisdom to be acknowledged through parental discipline of their children. Did you notice what we read there in Proverbs in chapter 3? For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Now he's bringing it down to parental discipline. God is a God of mercy and grace. Praise the Lord for that. I'd have been dead a long time ago if God was not a God of mercy and grace. But also, he's a God of discipline and righteousness. The minds of children are developing today in America. I see this. The minds of children are developing without the discipline of righteousness. And when you raise a generation of young people without the discipline of righteousness, society will change. Somebody raised the politicians that are in public offices today. Some I would be proud of, others I'm thinking, yeah. I can tell you which one had physical discipline, those that didn't. I can tell you those that were raised according to the word of God, the raised with this principle of discipline of righteousness, and those who were left to their own conscience without any knowledge of the word of God. Children, according to the word of God, who designed humanity, especially in the foundational stage of their development. I love prenatal care. And everyone's all for that. Because that baby is developing inside of your womb, and you had better take care of yourself. And you better not eat certain things and drink certain things. And you better make sure, because what you put in your body goes into that development of the body of that baby. Can we understand that? I think everybody can understand that. We have prenatal vitamins and we have all the different things to make sure that we can deliver a healthy baby. Listen to me. That's just the beginning. Their little minds are developing. Their bodies are developing. Their heart is developing. Everything about that human life is developing. And God says, I know how I designed it. And children need to be disciplined by their parents. Don't allow children to raise themselves. Don't allow children to raise the parents. But parents, take on the responsibility that God has given to you and given to you a life, and raise that life according to the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Wow. We have so lost sight of that. Hebrews in chapter 13. There's so many verses. I'm just going to share a few with you here. In the book of wisdom, the Bible gives us to understand the knowledge and the wisdom and common sense of discipline. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. He that spareth his rod, that is discipline, that's not beating somebody with a rod. It's a belt or whatever. My mom used a switch. My dad used a belt. Amen. But he that spareth his rod, or the discipline, hateth his son. The opposite of love and discipline. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That betimes, according to Webster's dictionary, is before it's too late. Because physical discipline only goes so far as the child is developing. At some point, and every child might be a little bit different, but some point, then you provoke that child by physical discipline. A 30-year-old does not like to get whipped by a belt. You can't take a switch to a 40-year-old. Although mom might have tried that. It might have been necessary. Betimes is before it's too late. That means that you need to do it during the time of life that they are developing, when it will make a difference in their lives, but they need it. According to God, stop listening to humanity. Stop listening to man telling you how to raise your children, and look back to the creator of humanity, who designed them and knows what children need. It's out of love. Yeah. Betimes. Chapter 15, verse 5 and 6. A fool despiseth his father's instructions. A fool. But he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure. That's not talking about silver and gold. It's talking about the lives of your children. Raising them. In the house of the righteous much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The wicked raising their children as they want their children to be raised is going to turn into trouble. But the righteous understand the things of God and have the wisdom of God and understand the need for parental discipline, and the need for parental discipline brings blessings. Chapter 22, verse 15. Foolishness. Now listen to this. This is God helping us to understand what we have to look back to when man was under their own accountability, the dispensation that they were raised in of conscience that led to destruction and evil continually. Now, the foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction, whether that be a paddle, a belt, a switch, the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. I think anybody that abused children need to be hung. I really do that. I think they need to be put away somewhere, especially sexual abuse and all the different things. They affect that life and the development of that child, all the different things that go along with that. They should not get off. And in one day, of course, God's going to deal with them. It'd be better for that individual that a millstone be put about the neck of that person and thrown into the deepest part of the ocean, the Bible says. God will deal with them. But don't let the fear of abuse keep you from loving your child enough to discipline that child as God would have you to discipline that child. No one loves your child as much as God loves your child. God gave you that life to raise for him. Chapter 29. Proverbs, so much in the book of Proverbs. I'm just highlighting some things here. But Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Let them raise themselves. Verse 17, correct the son, thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. There is a blessing in the home when you have disciplined children. And when you don't have disciplined children, there is no rest in the home. There's chaos, and there is pressure put on relationships of marriage and relationships of parenting and relationships outside the home. And listen to me, children are meant to be a blessing, but children have to be raised according to the word of God. Us to understand that. And of course, the verses we know that we have in the New Testament, the full revelation of God in Ephesians in chapter 6. Let me just read this to you. You know them. Children, this is what God has for children. Now, children can't read this. They don't understand this, but this is for parents to understand about your children. Children, obey your parents. It's the parent's responsibility to help the child to obey. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Parents should never allow their children to disobey and to get by with it. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That's what God says to you, parents. If your children are not honoring you, if your adult children are not honoring you, there's a time when physical discipline is too late, but there should never be a time when your children fail to honor you. Don't ever lose your influence over your children. Don't ever make yourself honorable for them. Easier for them to honor you is when you make yourself honorable. because they need that for the rest of their lives. As long as God allows them to have their parents here, they need this because it's going to affect their lives. But it's up to us to enforce that. You should never let your children disrespect you. You should never let your children fail to honor you. It's not all right. It goes opposite the will and the word of God. Yeah. If you truly love your children as God loves your children, love demands discipline. And lastly, this morning we're done. The wisdom of self-discipline. Because we all have a free will. Not everyone's self-disciplined because you have to choose to be self-disciplined. Back in the book of Proverbs, we find in chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, let me just read this to you, but verse 8 it says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Hear it and don't forsake it." He goes on to say in verse 9, "For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." Means that's a positive thing. That means that they're going to be blessings. All who welcome God's chastening and parental discipline as well are promised the blessings in this life and beyond. Because when you welcome God's chastening and you welcome parental discipline, then they both lead you to self-discipline. We discipline our children to help them learn to discipline themselves. God disciplines his children to make us the disciples that he can bless. His discipline, as I look over my life, it was God's chastening in my life that led me to discipline myself. To make me realize that I can't always go by what my eyes want and what my flesh wants. Because most of the time, those lusts of the eyes and the lusts of the flesh and the pride of life, not most of the time, all the time, it's going to lead you opposite the will of God. Thank God for God's discipline. It helped me. I thank God for the discipline of my dad. It helped me. There's no way I'd be where I'm at. There's no way that we would have raised our girls the way we raised our girls without the self-discipline that we learned through God and our parents. And I look at my grandchildren, and I see that they're being raised in the very same way that we raised our girls. That's beyond understanding. That's the joy that goes beyond understanding. Paul's testimony, I got to quit here, but let me take you to a couple more Proverbs. Proverbs 4:13 says this, "Take fast hold of instruction." You have to want it. To be self-disciplined, you have to want it. You have to accept the chastening of the Lord. You have to ask God. You have to be accountable to God on your own. "Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." What God wanted me to learn through the chastening is what's helped me, and that's given me a life, the life that I live. Chapter 6, verse 23. "For the commandment is a lamp unto the, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instructions are the way of life." It will direct you in the way that you live your life. This understanding of self-discipline learned by the chastening of God and the discipline of the parents, it helps us to develop this self-discipline that affects the way we live our life. In chapter 13 and verse 18, the Bible says, "Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof," that's chastening, "shall be honored." Chapter 15 and verse 32, "He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding." Chapter 16 and verse 32, the Bible says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, for he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." More important that you learn how to rule your own spirit than be the strongest man on earth. Self-discipline is so important. And lastly, 1 Corinthians in chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we find Paul's testimony of a self-disciplined life. Paul says in chapter 9, verse 22, "To the weak became I as weak." Such discipline that I learned how to help people and be what I needed to be to help people. "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, live your life that you may obtain." The prize that God has for you is what he's saying here. "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate." He has discipline. He has control of himself in all things. "Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible, the blessings of God. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. I have purpose in my life, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Because if you don't, your body's going to lead you astray. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." We must not ever despise or be weary of biblical discipline. Embrace it. As you walk out of this auditorium this morning, I will preach the message I believe God wanted us to hear. It's what we each and everyone do with it. This is a lesson from a message from God that will change your life. If you're not saved, get saved simply to have God as your heavenly Father, who you're accountable to, who will make sure that if you get out of line, he's going to chasten you to get you back in line. It'll make a difference. Embrace the chastening of a loving heavenly Father. Embrace the commandment of God, a parental discipline. And embrace the idea of a free will that I will give an account for, and bring it under the subjection of the words of God. Embrace discipline. If I could have every head bowed this morning. Are you embracing biblical discipline? Found throughout the book of wisdom how important it is. What happens to a society that fail? What happens to individuals just are led by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Oh, how we need to embrace biblical discipline. Father, we bow before you now. We love you, Lord. And thank you for the truths of your words, for this book of Proverbs and how that we can see it throughout the scriptures and helping us to understand it and make application. I pray this morning, God, for anyone that's here that does not know you as a personal Lord and Savior, because God, not only will it give them everlasting life and a gift of eternity, but it will also give them this heavenly discipline of a father who wants his children to turn out right. Bless now this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.